It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning going to keep one downfield. Pass the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 70 yards. Salsa time and Big D. Victor Cruz with another. Play fake, Freeman back to throw. Under pressure, heaves it downfield. Intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15. Cuts right back to the 20. Looking for a block up to the 30. And drag down there.
Manning takes the snap, back to throw.
Sidearms one left sideline, and it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Golzine takes the snap. Pass
intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul, and he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, the 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelk.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, or on Twitter. Join us at hashtag GiantsChat. Good morning, everybody. John Schmelk with you as the Giants continue to get closer to the 2014 NFL Draft. Now, I want to touch on a couple things that kind of broke yesterday. I should note the Giants have not yet announced the signing of Josh Freeman, despite the fact that it's been rumored all over the place, and his agent apparently put some stuff up on Twitter. So just want to start the show by saying the Giants have not made that official, so we'll see if it happens. But considering there are so many reports and I see a gross overreaction to this potential news on Twitter, I will address it to start the show. But once again, the Giants have not announced it. Nothing's official. But if this does come to pass at some point, here's what I have to say. Giant fans need to calm down. I've seen overreactions and over to the ramifications of this move that I haven't seen in a very long time. I've heard people freak out and say Josh Freeman is the, I believe the quote I saw was the younger version of Eli Manning could take over for him when his contract is over. Huh? Josh Freeman can't find a job. Not in the same class and category as Eli. That's number one. So that's the really ridiculous one. I'll throw that out of the way first. Number two. Other people have indicated this means the Giants are really concerned about Eli's ankle and they're not sure he's going to be ready for the season. Also, not true. Eli Manning had a pretty simple clean-out procedure of his ankle, and he's expected back 6 weeks after the surgery. That would put him in the middle of June, beginning of June, rather. So, by all timetables, you should be ready for a veteran minicamp. But if you want to take it easy, you want to be careful with your franchise quarterback, it's understandable. Maybe you want to rest him an extra couple weeks, have him back in training camp in August, in July, that's fine. And if that's the case, you can't just have two quarterbacks in OTAs and mandatory minicamp. You got 90 guys here. You need three quarterbacks to play with all three teams. So you have to sign another body to throw the football. And why not bring in the guy who's probably the best guy left on the market, and that's Josh Freeman. And that brings me to the last reason that the Giants probably brought him in. When the Giants bring in a backup quarterback, they want somebody that can step in so the team still has a chance to win when Eli gets hurt. You're not looking for a guy that's going to repeat Eli's production or be that good of a player. You want to bring in somebody that gives the team a chance. And Josh Freeman will give you a chance. And frankly, he might give you a better chance than a Curtis Painter. You know, Curtis Painter, you know, started for the Colts a couple years ago. They did not do well. First pick in the draft got Andrew Luck. And Josh Freeman has a better track record. He's a first-round pick. He has a big-time arm. Now, I understand he struggled in his time with Shiano down in Tampa Bay for that final year there. He couldn't get back on the field last year after the Vikings rushed him in against the Giants and he played terribly. They never gave him another chance after that game. But he could be a better veteran backup than Curtis Painter. So you bring him in here and you let him compete. And that will allow me to dispel the final reaction I've seen to this Josh Freeman news. And people are simply assuming that the Giants are giving up on Ryan Nassib because they've, again, reportedly signed Josh Freeman, not official. It's nonsense. In an ideal world, Josh Freeman's not even on this roster next year. Remember, folks, they have 90 guys here in the offseason. You can bring in a guy like Freeman. So it makes a lot of sense to bring him in here, give the Giants another backup option, but they would like to see Ryan Nassib outplay Painter and outplay Josh Freeman. this spring and this summer to earn a roster spot. And then the Giants only have to carry two quarterbacks. You don't want to have to carry three. Now, if Ryan Nassib's not able to win that battle, we'll see if the Giants go with three again or if they decide to let Ryan Nassib go, which would be admitting that they screwed up in the draft last year, trading a six to move up in the fourth round to get Ryan Nassib. But let's not make that a fact yet. Nassib still has a chance here to compete and show the Giants he deserves to be the backup, and he can be the backup, and he's good enough to be the backup. Let's give it some time. Let's not jump the gun here, folks. Give the kid a chance to compete. They're not cutting their losses on Ryan Nassib yet. And in that same vein, no, they cannot trade Ryan Nassib and get a fourth or fifth round pick. He was a fourth round pick last year, did nothing during the preseason, didn't have a chance to play in the regular season. Another team's not trading a fourth for Ryan Nassib. I don't see it. He's got to show you something in exhibition games first. He's got to show you something in a game situation. That's why Schaub was able to be traded for what he was. That's why Flynn had value. They flashed. They showed what they could do. And Nassib hasn't had the chance to do that yet. It's just his rookie year. That's fine. He could do that this year. And then maybe the Giants can get something for him. So that's where I sit on this reported Freeman signing. It's a body. It's an extra guy to throw passes in OTAs and minicamp. And if Nassib's not ready, he could be a backup quarterback next year if he outplays Curtis Painter, which I think is a possibility. It's all about competition, guys. Competition is good. Don't draw a million conclusions over signing a guy like Josh Freeman. You're wasting your time. 201-939-4513. Let's go to the phones. You'll carry us this entire show. No guests today. And go to David in the Bronx first. David, what's going on?
Hey there, John. How you doing?
Doing well, David. What's up with you?
How was your excursion to Midwest?
It was fun. It was fun. We were very productive. Got a lot done, but I'm happy to be back. What's up?
Okay. Let's deal with Josh Freeman first. Giant fans need to calm down.
Thank you.
This is the way our organization is. Do they not remember David Carr? He got there. His career was down, and we gave him a chance. Now, he had his opportunity. He was a quality backup, and he got there and went to, I think it was, not Casey, he went to
San Francisco,
St. Louis, right, and he couldn't get there and get a starting position.
Oh, no, you know what, you're right, St. Louis, you're right, it was St. Louis.
Right, but he got his opportunity, and now kudos to Tom Coughlin and Jerry Reese, because they're doing it again, and I applaud them on that.
Hey, David, David, your phone's cut out a little bit. Are you on speaker, man? Get off of speaker.
Okay. I'm off.
Okay,
I'm off.
You sound a lot better now. Go ahead.
Okay. I heard a rumor I would like to know. Is Detroit still trying to trade up to number two?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Is Detroit still trying to trade up to get the second pick in the draft?
I've heard that the Rams might be willing to trade down depending on who's on the board. I haven't heard a ton about Detroit trying to move up. I'm sure they talk about it, but I don't think it's – I would be shocked if they did, to be quite honest with you.
Because if they do, that would get up there and send trimmers all through that draft. That draft would be – shaking up like nobody's business.
Why do you think that?
Because I would say this. Right now, consensus is Blaine Bortles is number one. But
hey, David, your phone's cut out on me, man. I can't hear you. We got to let you go. Give us a call back if you want to get back on, but I couldn't really hear you there. And I don't think there's any consensus yet with this draft, to be honest with you. I mean, does anybody really know what the Texans are doing at number one? I certainly don't. Are they going to pick their quarterback? Are they picking quarterback? Are they picking Bortles or Manziel? I've seen it both ways. Or are they picking Clowney? I mean, the Rams are going to look to trade down if they don't. Are they going to pick the best guy left on the board at a Clowney if he's there? Or will they pick an offensive lineman? Will they take Sammy Watkins? I mean, I've seen it go a bunch of different ways, to be quite honest with you. I mean, does anybody know if the Raiders or Browns or Jaguars are definitely taking a quarterback? I don't know that. I don't think anybody does. I don't think we have a consensus yet. So I'm not really sure what's going on. I don't think anybody does. Again, teams are still doing work on these draft folks. These draft boards aren't even put together yet. 201-939-4513. Bash is in Ohio. Bash, I haven't heard from you in a couple days. What's going on, man?
What's going on with you, John? Everything good? I had to make a statement. I'm like what Jerry did so far. I feel like we the Miami Heat of the NFL right now. It's a 25 or 26 free agent that we signed this offseason. Josh Freeman's the 24th or 25th free agent we signed this offseason.
I don't have the number in front of me, but I would say it's probably in the teens.
Right. Well, from another team, I think it's about the 13th. But overall, where our free re-signings in altogether, I think it's about 24, 25. But from another team, it's the 13th or 14th. But I feel like the Miami Heat of the NFL right now, because we had about $25 million to spend. We signed about 25 players. So that's looking at about $1 million per player we signed. So that's good. Good thing Jerry did. But I had a question about Josh Freeman. You think he'll make the 53-man final roster?
If I had to guess right now, and again, it's way too early, I would say no.
That's what I'm thinking. As we know, we don't keep four. We keep only 2 to 3 quarterbacks, knowing that Eli will be there week one of regular season. I don't have any doubt about it. Eli be there week one of the regular season. So it's just insurance. I think with Josh Freeman being insurance purposes, but I think we're only going to be three, and Curtis Painter and Ryan Napsa. I think he's just insurance just in case Eli can't play OTAs and mini camp and training camp, but I don't think he's going to be in a 53-man roster at the end of beginning of week one.
Look, I think in the Giants' perfect world, he's probably not on the roster. I think if the Giants have it their way, it's going to be Ryan Nassib as the backup and just two quarterbacks on the roster. So I think in the Giants' perfect world, you know, Nassib's the guy. He's number two. But if he doesn't prove that he's good enough, I think then there's a decent chance that Freeman could beat out Curtis Painter for that veteran backup role.
Okay. That's all that I have for you, John.
Thanks, Bash.
All right.
Have a good one, brother. Enjoy your weekend. 201-939-4513. Stay in Ohio. Let's go to Jason. Jason, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing all right, Jason. How about you?
Well, I just wanted to get in on some of this Josh Freeman talk, too,
yeah.
Because it's just really interesting to me that we brought him in. I really like the idea of having the competition back there. I don't know if he's going to beat Nassib out, but if he does beat Nassib out and he is, you know, on the team and everything else, I just can't see the Giants keeping three quarterbacks again. We have so many holes on this team that you need every available player in all these other spots to fill some of these holes. And then on top of that, if Nassib doesn't make the team, think about the two draft picks that it cost us to trade up to get him. They took a guard with the first pick that we traded up for, and they took Andre Ellington in the sixth round, who had 1,000 yards from scrimmage last year.
Good point.
That's just painful. You know, the second thing I want to talk about is just the draft in general. There's a name that I just haven't heard a lot of people talk about. Listen, ideal world, I go offense. I love the idea of Evans, but let's face it, he's not going to be there. The quarterbacks are dropping like crazy, so it's possible we don't even get Ebron or Lawan or any of these other guys.
Well, though,
really
Jason,
like.
Remember, you know, you say the quarterbacks are dropping like crazy. That just might be a ploy by those teams, you know, trying to, you know, work something with other teams in trades and put up a smokescreen. We don't really know what those quarterbacks are doing right now.
It's true. It's true. In my estimation, though, I just don't think that this quarterback crop is, you know, worthy of all the first-round grades that I've seen a lot of people give them. I think that, you know, if I were GM, which, of course, I'm not, these guys are a hell of a lot smarter than I am, I'd be taking a lot, you know, lower in the draft and in the top 10.
Here's what I would say about the quarterbacks. If I had to guess right now, I would say two quarterbacks would get picked before the Giants go with 12. I think there's a better chance, look at it this way, I think there's a better chance of just one being picked than three being picked. But if I had to guess, I'd say they'd be two. There would be two off the board by the time the Giants picked the 12.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of probably my best guesswork, too, is that there's going to be two off the board. But we keep talking about being thin at some positions. I'm looking at safety as being thin. It sounds like we have a lot. We have Roll, but he's in the last year of his contract. We have Brown, but he's on a one-year deal, and he's coming off knee surgery. You know, I don't think Cooper Taylor is the answer. And Will Hill is always just kind of one incident off the field from being suspended. You know, maybe if all those offensive guys are out there, we talk about Donald, but why haven't we been talking about Clinton Dix? If we're going to talk about Donald, we should probably be talking about Clinton Dix in the same conversation. Anyway, that's all I had for the day. I'll go ahead and listen to your comments.
All right, Jason, appreciate the call, man. I think the reason we don't talk a lot about Clinton Dix is because the Giants are so packed at safety. And I know you said Will Hill is always a, you know, an off-the-field incident away from being lost for 6-8, maybe, who knows, more games than that. But you re-signed Stevie Brown. You did draft Cooper Terrell last year. Whether or not you like him or not, the Giants do have some kind of faith that he's going to become a player. He was a fifth-round pick, so you got to think a mid-round draft pick like that. Out of a small school, he had some medical red flags. Maybe he can be a sleeper that could turn into a player sometime. But I just don't think his safeties are big enough in need. And frankly, these two safeties that are being predicted to go in the first round, Pryor and Dix, they don't strike me as these, like, super great, awesome playmakers. Like, they don't strike me as an Earl Thomas type. I don't think they're in that category. I just don't think they're that good, to be quite honest with you. And I think if you're going to pick a safety in the first round, you better be Earl Thomas. You better be Eric Berry. You better be one of those guys. You know what I mean? And I'm not sure I see that from either of these guys. I think there's some question as to what they're best at. You know, conventional wisdom says that Clinton Dix is more of a center fielder and Pryor is more of a run stopper. Then you have Jimmy Ward, who's going to be a second-round pick, by the way. But I've seen other people analyze him and say, look, I think Pryor will be a better coverage guy. I think Clinton Dix is good in the box. So, I mean, I just don't think a safety will be in play at 12 for the Giants. I think it's too high. I think Donald's a bigger need. I think pass rush is a more valuable premium position to get on the team. And I think that's the direction they'll go. By the way, I should bring this up. Bucky Brooks, and I like him on the air. I think he does a good job. He knows his football. His mock drafts are really strange. I mean, I'll bring this thing up to take a look at it here. Bucky Brooks has some weird stuff in his mock drafts. He really does. See if I can bring this thing up here. I got to find it. He did a two-round mock draft, which is always useful. I appreciate that, actually. Here we go. But there are some weird picks in here. Now, the bad news for Giant fans, in this Bucky Brooks two-round mock draft, he has two quarterbacks off the board before the Giants pick. Manziel at 3 to Jacksonville, Bortles at 5 to the Raiders. Not surprisingly, the first six non-quarterbacks off the board, to no one's surprise, and this I think is how it's going to go: Clowney, Watkins, Greg Robinson, Mike Evans, Khalil Mack. Then he has Anthony Barr to the Bills, which is good for the Giants because they, you know, don't need a 3-4 outside linebacker. But this is when it gets bad for the Giants. He has Eric Ebron off the board at 10, Justin Gilbert off at 11, which means when the Giants come to pick here, they have a choice between Taylor Lewan, Aaron Donald, Darquez Dennard, Zach Martin, and this is who Bucky Brooks gave the Giants, C.J. Mosley. Now, I think it'd be a mistake to pick C.J. Mosley in that round. I really do. I don't think it makes a lot of sense. I think the Giants would be foolish to pick, you know, an injury-prone linebacker at that point in the draft that's switching positions. I know the Giants could use some help on the weak side. I'm not saying, you know, he couldn't play out there. But I don't like Mosley at 12. I don't think he's – if you're going to pick a defensive player, you got to pick somebody that's going to rush the passer and get some sacks for you. A linebacker is not cutting it for me at 12. I'd rather pick Taylor Lewan there at 12 than C.J. Mosley. And frankly, it's not even close. Not even close. I take Zach Martin before I take C.J. Mosley. I know Shakes out there likes linebackers. We're going to him next, but I don't – it's just strange. I don't see it. I don't see why the Giants would pass a guy like Aaron Donald and Taylor Lewan for C.J. Mosley, which is what Bucky Brooks has them doing. It just doesn't make any sense. It's mind-boggling to me. I don't get it. 201-939-4513. Shakes is in Baltimore. Shakes, what's going on?
What's up, John?
Doing all right, man. How about you?
How you feeling? I'm all right, man. I'm all right. Yes, you know that. When I heard the C.J. Mosley, I'm like, okay, linebacker. But, like you said, like, it's a lot of people that's just not really too high on Mosley. I like him. I like him, but I don't know if I like him enough at 12.
Well, exactly. Shakes, that's what I'm saying. I think Mosley's a good player. If I'm picking a 15, that's fine. But I can't pick C.J. Mosley, a guy that's had injury issues in college, who's undersized, is now going to be going up against grown men. I can't trust that guy to stay healthy in the NFL, especially when I have a guy like Terrell Lewan on the board, when I have a guy like Aaron Donald on the board. I can't do it.
Right. I agree with you on that, but what I don't agree with you on is how you just jump off Mike Evans' boat completely because of what McShay or whoever said something.
Seen Mike Evans go in the top shakes. I've seen Evans go in the top 8 or 9 in pretty much every single mock draft I've seen come out in the last 2 or 3 weeks. If he is there at 12 for the Giants, I'll be pleasantly surprised, but I will be blown away and shocked. I hate to break the bad news to you. I don't see it happening.
That's cool. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you can't just jump off completely off of one man just saying something, man. Because this my thing about it is we don't know. We don't know. You just said somebody, Bucky, whoever this guy is, just had Ebron off the board. You know? We don't know what's going to happen in this draft.
That's
true. We don't.
That's
100%
true.
Nobody knows. And in past drafts, somebody then came out of nowhere and made it in the top 10. A la Hayward Bay. Was not supposed to be in the top 10, but the Raiders just said, oh, I love his speed. Draft him. You know? So, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, John. We got to wait and see. So don't just write off my man Evans, because I'm still on Team Evans, and I'm still going to stand strong for Team Evans. Team Evans, stand up.
No, Shakes, I hear you. No, Shakes, I know you're on Team Evans, and I know you understand how it works, but there are a lot of Giant fans out there. I don't want them to marry themselves to a guy like Evans and say, well, if we don't get Mike Evans,
right,
then this draft is a failure. I'm just trying to
avoid people
falling into that trap. You know what I mean?
And you know what, John? That's what I feel that they are doing with Ebron. I feel like they are so handcuffed and married to this guy, they don't even care or worry about who else is available. I mean, we look at Aaron Donald, and he's a special defensive tackle, but these people are like, no, not defense the first round, not defense, we got to go offense. Yes, I'm talking about my little sexy little mama. I heard you that day on the radio. You know what I mean? You talking about no defense, but you want to draft Benjamin? You want to draft Benjamin, Mom?
You can at 12.
Benjamin?
You can at 12.
Come on, now. Come on, man. Benjamin is like a Ramsey Barton to me. He really is. If you look at him real close, you'll see Ramsey Barton.
Well, I'm not, you know, he played at a much bigger school, and he's much more physical than Ramsey Barton. But he, to me, the problem with Kelvin Benjamin, Shakes, and I said this a couple days ago, I'm not sure if you caught it. One, he's 240 pounds. Two, he's slow. Three, he's a project. He's only played 2 years of football at Florida State. If you listen to the guy we talked to from Florida State last week, he basically said this guy's a project. And, you know, after his first year, people were really down on him. The light kind of went on in year number two. But I think there are a lot of red flags with this guy. And even if you do draft him, it's going to take a year or two before he even has a chance to start doing anything in this league.
Right. And another thing is, what I don't like about him is he don't get off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. Well, that's because he's not that quick.
You know,
he's not that fast.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, he's a second round, third round to me at best.
Yes, you know, exactly, Shakes. If Kelvin Benjamin's there in the second round, I think that's a spot you can take the chance and pick a guy like that, but not at 12.
Yep.
No way.
Yeah, I like Martavis Bryant more than him. I'm just saying.
Honestly, honestly, Shakes, I don't think there's that much separating those two players. I think they're very close. I think Moncrief's in that mix, too. I think Allen Robinson from Penn State's kind of in that mix, too. I think all those wide receivers are kind of in a big mess. You know what I mean?
And that's what I'm saying. It's a lot of guys, John. It's a lot of guys. So we don't have to go offense first round. Yes, it would be nice to go that route, but we don't have to.
No, Shakes, I'm with you. Look, the most important thing is to get a great player that's going to be an excellent player here for 10 years.
Yes.
Now, as you well know, I would prefer to pick an offensive player, but I've said it before. I wouldn't sit here and say it's a bad pick if you pick a guy like Aaron Donald, because I think he's going to be an excellent player. Now, I would prefer not to pick an offensive lineman, but if Terrell Lewan's there and he turns out to be a franchise left tackle, guess what? In 3 years, you're going to be thrilled you picked Terrell Lewan with that first-round pick.
You know what? I'm glad you said that because, you know, I'm not really too high on offensive linemen in the first round. But I'll have to say, if we did draft Lewan and he came out and did what Pugh did last year, because you remember I was mad about Pugh last
year.
Yep,
I do.
Because I wanted Ogletree. And if he can do what Pugh did, then I'll be, okay, that's fine. That's satisfied. Hey, somebody that protect Eli for the next 3 years, then that's cool. Oh, and I wanted to speak on one last thing, and then I'm gone.
Sure.
This Freeman thing, okay? Now, I was tweeting Rhodey last night, and he was like, oh, he's not going to make it past training camp. And I'm like, well, I actually like him, and I actually think that if he does make the team, I'm actually comfortable if, say, knock on wood, God forbid, Eli goes down week five, I'm not going to be feeling real comfortable that week knowing that Painter or Nassib has got to start. I'll be okay if Freeman has to start. I'll be like, okay, well, at least he started games in his league, you know?
Well, Shakes, here's what I would say about that. If I'm going simply off their body of work from this point in time into the past, and I'm assuming that Ryan Nassib's the same player this year that he was last year. Now, that might change. We might see he's improved a lot. But if we're simply going off of what these guys were last year, I would say Josh Freeman right now is the second best. If the Giants do go through and make the signing, that he is the second best quarterback on the Giants roster.
Yeah, because Nassib is a project. And I really don't want to say Eli goes down. Like I said, God forbid, Eli goes down week five. I don't want to start a project. I don't. So, Josh Freeman, I'm glad if he comes in.
Thank you, Shakes.
All right, man. Thank you for taking my call.
And by the way, have a great weekend, my friend.
All right, you too.
And by the way, just to remind everybody, we do not have a show tomorrow. It is Good Friday. No one's here. The office is closed. So a little three-day weekend for us. And so you will have a Friday without BBKL. I'm sorry about that. But day off. I'm taking it. Sorry. let's go back to our phone and say what's up to Marco up in Connecticut. Marco, what's going on, pal?
Hey, John. What's going on?
Nothing much, Marco. How are you?
I'm doing great, John. A couple things, I call in thinking that I want to talk about Freeman and the draft, and then these things just keep popping up. Shakes brought up some good points that I wanted to get your opinion on.
Sure, what have you got? Bring it.
Well, first things first, talking about the mock draft that you mentioned with Bucky Brooks, I've been pretty tapped into some of these mock drafts. What I found, and maybe, you know, hopefully there's a little bit of a trend that we could catch on to as Giants fans that will help us. Bucky Brooks is a pretty good scout. I've enjoyed his work on Path to the Draft on the NFL Network. But what I found with these mock drafts, usually the guys that are the most tapped in to the Giants' needs, no offense to Bucky, he's great. He's not one of them. Neither are the guys at ESPN. McShay and
Kuiper.
They have been mocking us, mock drafting us to have a tight end and a linebacker for the last 4 years. I mean, so the guy, so I've been paying attention to that. But here's what I've caught on to. Last year, actually, Mike Mayock, who only does one mock draft, he releases his mock draft the night before the draft.
That's correct.
And I think, yeah, right. And I think what he does is, he gathers all of his information, and he really is in tune with the teams, and he's talking to these personnel guys. He had us taking Justin Pugh.
No, he did. You're 100% right. He did. He knocked that out of the park.
I remember watching, and I'm thinking, wow, he just gave us this tackle where all of these tackles or all of these offensive linemen are going high in the draft, and we have this kid from Syracuse. And I didn't buy it at the time, but he ended up being right. So maybe it's just something to just to keep in the back of our mind.
Yeah, Marco, and I think there's another thing to point out, too. I mean, I think some people, when they do these mock drafts, I think it varies from person to person. I wish we had, you know, people explain their methodology here. I think some people set up their mock drafts simply on how they rate the prospects, and they figured out that way. Other people, I think, go by more of what teams' needs are, and then they assign picks that way. Other people have sources with teams, and they might throw them some names, which, by the way, can often be BS because, you know, teams lie. So they can try to throw out smoke screens and say who's picking who. So I think it really depends on how these individuals, and I think it varies for each guy depending on who you're talking about, actually put their mock drafts together. Like, I think right now Kiper, when he does his mock drafts, he's going off of his big board and then looking at needs and saying, all right, this is who I think it makes sense for these guys to pick. But I don't think he's talking to people inside the organization and things of that nature. So I think from guy to guy, it really varies of how they even do these mock drafts.
Well, yeah, and you know, and so I guess we're just when Mayock releases his and it's one, you know, and it hasn't been watered down and he's not releasing one every week, no offense to anyone else who's doing it, or Gil Brandt, when Gil Brandt comes out with, and I know you respect Gil Brandt as well, when he releases something, I'm totally paying attention to that.
Well, Marco, I think the other thing, too, is that, you know, you mentioned these guys are forced to release all these mock drafts, and trust me, that's the thing. They're forced to do it. I talked to a lot of these guys at the Combine, and they're like, John, you can't imagine how my editors make me publish these mock drafts when I really don't have any new information or any real reason to put a new one out there. Do you know why? Mock drafts get the most clicks. So people want these mock drafts out there, and I think sometimes, you know, these guys putting them out are forced to change things and forced to be creative and come up with scenarios just so there's content. You know what I mean?
I do. Yeah. Well, that makes sense, too, because you were talking about Steve Mosley, and, you know, and I can only picture someone like Bucky Brooks, who it would be impossible to know every specific team need and take into consideration every free agent acquisition that's been made up until this point. And for him to sit down, he's probably seeing a player like C.J. Mosley, and he's hanging around at number 12, and he's, okay, I guess I'll plug him there for the Giants. They need a linebacker, but it's hard to know. The reason I called John is I wanted to talk about this Josh Freeman move.
Sure.
I think Freeman was brought in specifically to compete with just Curtis Painter.
And I agree.
What I'm thinking is we have to go two quarterbacks next year. You know, they made the comment when Nassib was drafted, I can't remember if it was Jerry or Tom, who said, you know, we hope he never plays here. And maybe that was just to say we love our starting quarterback and we don't want him to get hurt. This is what I'm thinking. Now, you said earlier, Nassib is not going to be dealt for a fourth or a third or a fifth round pick, and I agree. But I want to get your opinion. Can Nassib be part of a package if a team feels that he's a better prospect than any of the quarterbacks this year? So what I'm thinking, maybe if a team says, hey, you know, we don't like any of these first-round quarterbacks, we want to draft a Mettenberger or a Garoppolo in the second round or a McCarron, but we like Nassib from last year too. So what if the Giants say, hey, we have Nassib and a second-round pick and we want to move back up into the first round? Do you think that's a possibility?
I don't think you'll be able to move that much. I think you can put him in a package to maybe convince the team to do something. I just don't think he has a ton of value right now, to be honest with you. You know, it's funny. Once, and this is a joke a lot of personnel people in the league have, draft picks become less valuable as soon as you make the actual pick. It's, you know, it's almost the anticipation and the unknown that makes a draft pick so valuable. But once you actually pick a player at that pick, it's not as valuable as what the pick actually was before you made the selection. You know what I mean?
That's like buying a car.
Exactly. As soon as you have it off the lot, it loses $4,000 of value.
Sure. I hear you on that. I'm curious about Nassib now, only because with this draft so deep, do they take him into the preseason and say, hey, we have 5 preseason games. Let's show him off. Let's play. And I guess what I'm asking is I'm not sure if we're truly going to find out if his value is highest here right now or when he plays some games and we roll the dice on him, then maybe he looks pretty good.
Marco, I'll say this. I believe when we start training camp at the end of July, you'll have 3 quarterbacks here. You will have Eli Manning, you will have Ryan Nassib, and you will have either Curtis Painter or Josh Freeman. You will not have both of them.
Okay, that's it. And that's what we need to hear then. Last point, John, about the draft. Yesterday, you were asking about the most important player, and right away I thought it's Will Beattie. And I think this is and you can address this off the air when I hang up. I think what they need to do at number 12, there's no sure picks. Everyone, like you said, has their pros and cons of who you're picking at number 12. If Taylor Lewan is there, I mean, outside of all the off-the-field stuff, you have to consider that. If the off-the-field stuff is so big that they can't draft him and he's there, then take Zach Martin. Just take him. And you know what? For anyone who thinks that these first-round or second-round picks need to play, need to start right now this year, you know, what's the difference if we bring them in and they're on the team and they play maybe, or they play a prominent role, or they play later on in the year? You know, I remember when Aaron Ross was drafted. He came in when Sam Madison was struggling a little bit. We weren't sure about Corey Webster. We didn't draft Aaron Ross to be an opening day starter.
Right.
So let's just draft the best one. Get Zach Martin and don't worry about where Dustin Pugh lines up. What about Will Beattie? You never know. Hey, maybe John Jerry comes back and plays well, and maybe and Schwartz, I think, is going to be a good player. Get the best guys and let the coaches worry about it. That's all.
Thanks, Marco.
Thanks, John.
Good stuff, man. Excellent stuff out of Marco there. Excellent call. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Derek down in Atlanta, Georgia. Derek, what's going on?
Morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I want to talk about Ryan Nesbitt and Josh Freeman. Yesterday, when we talked, I said I hope that, you know, he makes it so we can only carry two quarterbacks. Man, I got killed on Twitter. Like, this guy's a bum. Let's cut him now. He's not going to be anything.
Derek, I could not agree with you more. The best case scenario for the Giants, and I can tell you, this is what the Giants would like to happen. They would, in their perfect world, they're carrying two quarterbacks next year. Eli Manning's the starter. Ryan Nassib's the backup because he proved in the spring, in the summer, that he's good enough to be a backup quarterback. That's the perfect world scenario for the Giants.
And I just want to know, what did the people expect? What did Giants fans expect from a fourth-round quarterback in the first year of his career behind Eli? What do you want him to do?
Yeah, I don't know.
Win some preseason games? Is that what you wanted him to do?
It's a good question.
I mean, I don't understand what you want from him. I mean, but, you know, can't we get at least 2 or 3 years out of a draft pick before we toss him out into the garbage? You know, can we try to develop players anymore? You know, if they're not an all-pro after the first year, DeMontre Moore, you know, people are ragging on him. God, give him a year or two, you know, before we start throwing draft picks in the garbage after the first year.
There is a certain level of impatience that tends to permeate these sorts of things there.
Yeah, I know. I mean, to me, I look at DeMontre Moore, and the guy did good on special teams, got us a couple of block kicks. I mean, I'm like, hey, that's good for a first year. You know, at one time, their draft picks came in and played special teams, and they didn't even expect him to play on a regular offense and defense. They came in and they learned, you know, and unless you were a first round draft pick, you play special teams to get on the team and to get your playing time. But now, if you don't contribute in the offense or the defense in the first year, you're a bum. You know, it's just a whole new type of thinking, I guess. I wanted to talk about also Josh Freeman. I don't know if he's more than the camp body at this point, but, you know, do you remember that shootout we had with Josh Freeman a couple of years ago?
When he was at Tampa, I believe it was the third week of the season, the Giants beat Tampa, what was it, 41-38, something like that? It was week 2 against Tampa, right?
Yeah.
It was Vincent Jackson had like 200 yards receiving. Eli, I think, had a deep pass. I think it was to Cruz to win that game at the end.
Yeah, it was really good. I look at Josh Freeman, and living in Atlanta, I watch him play the Falcons a few times, and the guy's passed for 4,000 yards, 3,500 yards a couple of times. He had just as many touchdowns as Eli has, and 27, you know, 20-something, 25. What happened to him?
It's a good question. I mean, I think it was pretty obvious that him and Greg Schiano in Tampa Bay did not get along. I think there was a big-time personality clash there. And when the quarterback doesn't get along with the head coach, you're going to have problems. And then I think when he got to Minnesota, they rushed him in there against the Giants in Week 7. And I think they put him in.
That was just unfair.
Exactly.
At all.
And I think they really put him in there before he was ready. It's funny. I remember doing shows that week, and we didn't know who was going to start. It was either going to be Freeman, Ponder, and I can't remember who the third guy was on that team for the life of me. But there was a third quarterback that was also in the mix that might have started. And I said on that Monday show before that Vikings game that I didn't believe there was any chance that Josh Freeman was going to start. He's been there only a few days. There's no way he knows the offense. And I'll tell you this, too. I was talking to the people upstairs that week, and people in the Giants front office didn't think Josh Freeman was going to start that game on Monday either. Now, eventually, when they announced he was starting on Tuesday, they're like, wow, I guess you were wrong. But they really rushed him into that game. And to really take anything out of that, I think, was really unfair. They put Josh Freeman in a position to fail in that game.
And a funny thing I read is that during that week of practice, you know, he's trying to learn the playbook, and they had a horrible practice that week. And Leslie Frazier was saying, we had one of the best practices since in a long time, and his players are like, what? You know, what are you talking about? So he wasn't ready, and I don't think he should. You know, people are going to judge him from that game, but he just threw that guy right into a deep part of the water, and it really wasn't his fault in that Minnesota game. But I just hope that he comes in. He's young, still 26, and still contributes, and can make a come back in his career because, he's still young.
Thanks, Derek.
And I'll talk to you later.
Appreciate it, man. Have a good weekend. 201-939-4513. Want to touch on a couple Twitter points real quick because they're related to the potential of the Josh Freeman sign. The Giants not announced that. It's not official. Where's Corey's tweet? I liked what point he made. Corey, if anything, Freeman lessens the chance of Curtis Painter being the backup. Giant fans should be thrilled. I think that the signing or potential signing of Freeman again does lessen the chance that Curtis Painter is the backup quarterback next year. I think that's probably a fair point by Corey. Someone else made a good point about the draft. Sonny Boy 2323, Benjamin could be the Jamarcus Russell of wide receivers. Will probably always have to fight to keep his weight down. That might be a little strong to compare him to Jamarcus Russell. I mean, Jamarcus Russell notoriously had a terrible work ethic and, frankly, was happy to cash checks and didn't try very hard. I'm not willing to, put Kelvin Benjamin in that category, but I think there are issues there with the weight. I really do. Tony Allen at Bonez Malonez. The Bucs trading away Williams, that's Mike Williams, and not signing any of the wide receivers in free agency is a strong indication that they will be strongly interested in Mike Evans in that first round. I think that is 100% accurate. Maybe even they'll think about trading up for Sammy Watkins if they can. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phone and say what's up to Rolando in Fresh Meadows. Rolando, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Big John. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing right. How are you, Ben?
Good, good. I'm glad you had a good time over the weekend. 85 degrees.
Oh, it was beautiful. And by the way, Divinely08 on Twitter reminds me, Matt Cassel was the other quarterback for the Vikings in that game. Thank you very much.
I like the potential signing of Freeman. I really believe, just like the other man said earlier, that he's here to compete with Painter. I believe that. And to think, if he can produce, there's guys that had a bad beginning, and I like to say Jim Plunkett. I like to say Bledsoe, who lost his job and came back and helped win the Super Bowl. People like that, sometimes they need to hold the clipboard. And to give up on Nasbitt is too soon. We're in the society of microwave. Everything has to be done, like, right away. Every time you hear these guys making a draft choice, give it 3 to 5 years. Give it 3 to 5 years. This kid's only 2 years. 2 years. Give him a chance, okay? I think if we give him a chance, let's see what he can do next year. And if he doesn't produce anything and he doesn't show any progression and stuff like that, now we can start saying, we made a mistake. And in terms of the draft, you know, I'm all over the place. I'm like a light switch. I'm up and down. offense, defense. John, you don't hear me, but I'm listening every day. And one of the things I'm hearing that I like more than anything, that it just, the guy didn't, you know, went a little longer on it, is Zach Martin. If we have trouble with Beatty, and say we don't, and I hope we don't. This is a guy I've been cheering for the longest. We're still going to have to develop somebody for guard next year when Chris Need retires. Why not have the guy who potentially could help you at guard and also be a potential help you at tackle and help and be your potential future guard next year, and you're not going to be pressed to think, oh, he can't do it.
I will say this about Zach Martin. To me, Rolando, he is your ultimate fallback pick. If all the other guys you really like or then you know that have all this upside aren't there, I'm talking about the Donalds, I'm talking about the Ebrons, I'm talking about the Evans. And I'll even throw Lawan into that mix, though his off the field stuff might be an issue for the Giants at 12. I'm not sure if it is or not, but it could be. Martin to me is the ultimate pick at 12 where you're like, look, we know we're getting an excellent player that's going to start for 10 years. Now, he might not have the upside of some of these guys. He might not be a star, but at least you know you're getting an excellent football player.
Absolutely. And I'm just thinking one thing, you know, a guy mentioned earlier, you know, unless this Taylor Lewan thing is really way out of hand and you know, it's worse than what we really think, which I doubt, because I think the Giants do their due diligence in terms of, you know, turning all the rocks and getting all the skeletons out of the closet. So I'm not – if they draft him, I have no problem with him. One thing I really want to touch on, John.
Yeah.
And when John Mara addressed the team at the end of the season, it's a known fact he said the defense was – the offense was broken. That's,
right.
That's a fact.
Yep.
But he also said this, Johnny. He said – We evaluated our team.
That's
we
correct.
We thought we had a better team than what we had, and that to me always stuck in the back of my head in terms of, are we making the right evaluation, or did we make the wrong evaluation, and now is the front office on hold, you know, like you got to develop now, you got to do something now. Because to me,
well, honestly,
you know,
Rolando, I think that evaluation that the talent they had on this team wasn't as good as they thought is the reason there's been so much turnover. That's the reason so many guys have left, and that's the reason so many new faces are here, because they knew they really had to rebuild the foundation of this franchise.
I hear you, Johnny, but I'm also still thinking in terms of the draft choices that we're potentially going to get. The first three rounds, I don't think we can't go wrong, but the fourth and on, and given the strength of the draft, in which we always talk and how strong it is, that the fourth is a third, and so on and so on, we can't miss it there neither. We can't. We're going to have still holes at the end of the draft, because we're not going to be able to fulfill them all because we don't have enough draft choices. But we're still going to have holes. I'd like to know, John, in June when they let go of these guys, Do the teams have an idea of who they're going to let go, or it's just, you know, random?
I think the teams internally know who they might let go. I think some will come to surprises to other teams around the league, and other guys, I'm sure, you know, teams know their salary situation and think, well, you know what, there's a good chance this guy might be available come June 1st. But I think there'll be some surprises. I think some are expected.
Okay, and mostly it's salary casualties, right?
But 90% of it. Sometimes, too, you might draft a couple young guys at a certain position, and then you realize you don't need a veteran there, and you know you want to develop the young guys. That could be a situation, too.
Okay, bro. That's all I have, and enjoy your weekend, and nice talking to you.
Thanks, Rolando. Appreciate it. All right, man. And by the way, Trina NY helped out with that Matt Castle thing online as well. First of all, I want to thank you guys for a second. I was in a pretty pissy mood this morning coming in. We played our basketball rec league championship game last night. We went 9-3 during the season. We won the playoff game last week. We went to the finals, and we probably played our worst game that we played as a team in about 3 years. We scored 8 points in the first half. That's how bad we were. We're only down by 9. We played great defense, held them to only, I think, 18 or something like that, but ended up losing by, 12. And I was still in a bad mood, but I was really expecting to have to, explode at a caller in the first 10 minutes of the show to get all my anger out, and it's still simmering, so maybe it's still going to happen. But you guys have put me in a little bit of a better mood, and I appreciate that. Let's go to Mike in Dumont. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, John. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Mike, morning. I'm doing all right. How about you?
Hey, congrats / condolences on the upcoming Nuts Tour.
I appreciate it, man.
Hey, a couple quick points, and I'll let you go. Number one, this whole thing with Freeman coming in, I don't understand what people would have a problem with about it. Why not have competition for number two behind Eli? I think it's a great move, and if he beats out Nassib, so be it. And if not, Nassib beats him out, and then we don't look like fools in the draft last year. So either way, he had some great numbers a year or two ago.
Wouldn't Josh Freeman be theoretically one of the better backup quarterbacks in the league? I think he ranks above whomever the Eagles have down there. I think he would rank, I think he's on the same kind of level as Kirk Cousins, right? He's probably right on the same level as a Kyle Orton that the Cowboys have. So, I think he ranks right up there as a top 15 backup quarterback in the league.
I agree, and if you look at his numbers, not from last year, but from, I think it was 2012, he had a hell of a season with not a ton of weapons and down in Tampa Bay. So, hey, why not bring him in and let the better man win? And we got a solid guy behind Eli. God forbid something should happen during the season. More importantly, my point regarding the draft is, listening yesterday, Steve from D.C., who I kind of can't stand, convinced me. So good job, Steve. He convinced me yesterday that Lewin's the guy, and I think I got to stand by that. I mean, I love Evans, don't get me wrong, but he's gone before 12. I think you had said that.
Yep, I really think so.
Too many other teams have offensive needs, specifically wide receiver needs, that Watkins is going to go real early, and he's not going to go too far behind them. And I like Ebron, too, but, Eli has won 2 Super Bowls without great pass-catching athletic tight ends with Boston Ballard and I just don't think we need a project who supposedly can't run block all that well at our number one pick at 12. My case for Lewin, real quick, is simple. I mean, look at his size. He's 6'8", 315, so it's a pretty good frame to add on another, 25 pounds if needed. He can be a beast at that tackle spot. He's got great combine numbers, right? I think he was the best offensive tackle at the combine with all the tests. The Michigan competition is no joke week in, week out. He's not a tackle from, East Louisiana A&T. He's from Michigan. And then you figured they're going to have some bookend young tackles for the next couple of years with him and Pugh and some young guys on the interior with Schwartz and Walton. And if Sneak can gut out another year or two, I think that's a definite tough offensive line upgrade we got there. Beattie was not that great last year before he broke his leg late in the season, so who knows how he's going to come back. And as far as all this character nonsense, fine. Talk character about him. Let him drop to us. Show me an offensive lineman in college who hasn't gotten a tiff outside of a bar or in a frat party, and I'd be surprised. I think the issue is overblown. Most importantly, I think he's finally going to bring back some mean and nasty to the G-men. The days of smash-mouth, running, mauling football.
Well, Mike, I'll say this. I'm not sure if the incident itself is overblown. You just got to make sure the incident isn't a, lingering sign of, inherent attitude problem or him being a bad guy. Maybe he'd be a bad locker room influence and all those things. I don't know that. I'm sure the Giants have done their due diligence on the kid. And, if they think he's a legitimately bad kid and he's going to be a bad seed for his whole NFL career, you probably would stay away from him. But just based off of one incident, no. You just got to make sure that one incident isn't a sign of bigger issues. You know what I'm saying?
Right. He got in a fight in college. Let's not label him Richie Incognito.
Right.
Everyone just take a step back. But most importantly, bring us back to that smash mouth. I mean, with either Connor or Hino blocking for him, that's going to be a hell of a battle in camp. That's going to be nasty. With and then you figure you got Jennings and
Hillis.
And Hillis back there in front of Rhino or Connor in front of that offensive line. I'd be psyched to see that. Let's get back to running the ball down people's throat and eating 10-minute drives and Giants football. And that's all I got to say. Let's go for Lewin.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, man. And I'll tell you what,
John, congrats again.
Hey, thanks again, buddy. And I think if the Giants do end up going in that direction, I think you will see a much more smash mouth type of team. But then again, I think you need another running back too. If you're going to try to run the ball 35 times a game, I think you need another guy. And then I think you're really going to draft one in the middle rounds if that's the way you decide to go. And how this draft breaks down, where I think will determine a lot of, you know, not necessarily what the offensive system is going to be, but maybe what the play calling is going to be and how your balance is going to be on offense. We have two calls left on the line. We'll take you, and then we will say adieu for the weekend. Hope everyone has a great holiday if you celebrate, a great Easter. And Passover is going on around now as well, so happy Passover, everybody out there, too. And hopefully you guys have a great weekend. We'll take two more calls before we say goodbye. Let's go to Jason in New Jersey next. Jason, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up, John?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Doing good. sorry about that. Josh Freeman. I mean, I think we're wasting money here. I think we should have signed Kevin Williams over him. We need more defensive tackles to cover our depth chart and have a little competition with that. And you know, what do you think about that?
I mean, I don't think they gave Josh Freeman a contract that's going to prohibit them from signing anybody else. My guess, and again, this is not official yet, so I don't know what the contract details are. I'm sure it's not much more than a veteran's minimum deal. It's not like they're, you know, not theoretically going to sign a Kevin Williams because they signed the Josh Freeman. I mean, that's not the type of contract they're giving him. They're giving him a prove it, you know, non-guaranteed veteran's minimum type of contract here. So I wouldn't worry about the money part of the whole thing.
Well, okay. I mean, like, I called, like, a few days ago about Kevin Williams, and here he is visiting the Giants, and I was surprised that he would visit. So I was happy when they were visiting and talking about contract and what will be his role in Perry's defense. Situation, and I was happy. What do you think about us drafting Michael Sam in the fourth or third round?
I don't think Michael Sam's a fit here. I mean, I don't care about his off the field stuff. He can do whatever he wants to do. I frankly couldn't care less. But to me, he's a 3-4 outside linebacker. I mean, he's a guy that'll rush the passer off the edge from a stand-up position. I don't think he's a 4-3 defensive end, which is what the Giants need. I think he could fit on a team that runs the 3-4 and be a situational pass rusher. I don't think he's a fit for the Giants because of their scheme.
Okay. Because, like, I watch his highlights, and he's pretty good.
The problem with Michael Sam is that a lot of his sacks this year came against bad competition. Against the better teams, he really didn't do a whole lot.
Okay. Do you think we should draft Travis Watson, the center out of Arkansas? Kansas or something like that.
Travis Watson.
Yes.
All right. Let me do some work on him, and I will get back to you on that. All right.
All right.
Thanks for the call, man.
All right. Take care.
Dude, have a good one. 201-939-4513. I'll do some work on Watson here, but I take this next call, and then I'll give my opinion on him before the show's over. Let's go to Frank in Tampa. He's hitting cleanup today. You're closing us out, Frank. What's going on, buddy?
Hey. Good to talk with you again, John. Just an observation, and then I had a question I was hoping that we could use your expertise on. You know, it is kind of odd. Normally, if, you know, the big topic of conversation with the team is talking about the backup quarterback, you know, usually have enormous problems or you have absolutely no problems at all, you know, because you either need somebody, you know, just so desperately, or you've got everything else, you know, covered, and it's like, well, we've got nothing else to talk about here. But then, you know, just when you think, oh, it's much to do about nothing, you know, and all of a sudden I think back and I go, wait a minute. You know, because if the starter goes down, normally the season's shot anyway. But then you think, I think the only exception I can think of in that rule was the 1990 Giants when Sims went down. So they actually did win with a backup. So just when you think, you know, it is much ado about nothing because no one has a chance anyway, you say, wait a minute, close to home, we actually have an example of where it could, you know, it could be very important. So, you know, make of it what you may, but I guess it's, you know, it is important, but it's not important. I don't know exactly which way to look at it. And I think teams have a different, you know, teams have different ways of looking at it. I think some just want somebody that we're not going anywhere anyway. If we need someone, we just don't want them to lose games for us. And other ones think, you know, we actually need somebody that might, you know, have a chance to win for us. And as much as watching Freeman down here for 4 years, he's exasperating because you see the talent and it just doesn't, you know, it's just no consistency. He does fall into that latter group where, you know, he actually could win some games for you. So, I leave that to bigger minds than mine. But John, here's my question for you, because I, for the life of me, cannot understand it. Like you were saying this morning, you know, during the spring, summer, there'll be 90 players. But, and then I know I've asked you in the past, and you said, yes, with every move, you have to remain under the salary cap. And excuse my ignorance, but how do you stay under the salary cap with 90 players?
The way it works is that the way the cap is calculated, Frank, I think the number is 53. I think only the top 53 salaries on your books count towards the cap. And generally speaking, everybody after 53 or will have a veterans minimums deal or they'll have a non-guaranteed rookie contract. So that's how the cap is calculated. I believe it's the top 53 guys in the roster once the draft happens and you sign all those undrafted free agents. And that's how you can stay under the cap but still have 90 players on the roster.
So what keeps teams from kind of stocking their roster with guys, you know, that they don't want other teams to get and then see how they do and then just, you know, just jettison them? And it's because of the way that...
Well, that's because other teams will be able to offer more money. If you're trying to, you know, stockpile guys and, your top 53 are over the salary cap, you can't do that, you know. So it doesn't matter when you sign the guy. If you sign the guy and he's one of your top 53 salaries, he's going to count towards the cap. So that prevents that stockpiling thing.
Boy, it's confusing.
Yes, it is. I can tell you, the Giants have two or three people here working on the cap, and that's their only job. That's how complicated it is.
Wow. Okay. Well, I was just curious about that. And, again, with Freeman, I don't know. I think it's kind of a coin flip, but I guess, you know, it's. I didn't think we were going to win if we had to with Painter or Nassib anyway. And so, you know, I guess it's kind of a why not, as much as I, you know, saw this guy play for 4 years and, you know, he wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't want it to be, but better than anybody else out there, I guess. So thanks a lot, John. Have a wonderful holiday.
Thanks, Frank. You too. Appreciate the call. And by the way, Anthony Phoenix on Twitter. I'm going to go through a bunch of your Twitter comments here before I say goodbye. There's a lot of them here, so I'll go through them. He asked about whether or not we're going to have a big draft day show. We are. We're going to have our show in the morning, Big Blue Kickoff Live at 9:30, and we'll probably go, I mean, my God, draft morning, I think we'll probably go 2 hours, maybe three, who knows. We'll go as long as we can. As long as the calls keep coming in, we'll keep taking them. I'll have Lance come in if he's around. Me and Lance will do it in the morning. Then at night, we're going to have Draft Night Live, which will air on MSG or MSG Plus, depending on whether or not the Rangers are in the playoffs. And it's going to be streaming on Giants.com as well and on the mobile app. You can check that out. And then we'll have same thing Friday morning. We'll go 2 or 3 hours on the call-in show. And then we'll also have Dottino and I believe, will be hosting Draft Night Live as we make our picks in the second and third round. We'll go for probably 2 hours at night, and we'll talk about the Giants selections as they happen. And then we'll also have our show on Saturday morning, too, where we'll take your calls for, you know, a couple hours, as long as it goes. Probably, actually, I think the draft on Saturday now starts like at 10, doesn't it? Does it start pretty early? Or start like 11, noon? Noon, you think? I thought I remember it starting earlier, like 10. Either way, we'll be here on Saturday morning. We'll figure out the time. I'll announce it as we get closer. I'll probably be on fumes at that point, but we'll have fun. We'll do it anyway. And you guys can call and talk about the draft that day as well. Should be a lot of fun. Of course, draft coverage, everything on Giants.com. Actually, is our draft page up with all the rankings and everything? It is, right? You can go to Giants.com. We have our top five rankings at each position. You can check that out. I put those rankings together. Make sure you check that out. It's a lot of fun. It's good stuff. Make sure you check that out on Giants.com. We'll go through a couple other Twitter questions as well here before we say goodbye. Let's see. Comments and questions. Ben Gruen, your running game is not made or broken by the tight end blocking, so what if Ebron struggles in the first year of blocking? He'll learn. I would tend to agree with that, and you don't know how much in McAdoo's system you're going to ask the tight end to block. So, and I actually had a good conversation yesterday. I forget who it was with on Twitter, and he was asking about Jason Morrow. Well, if you know you could teach Ebron to block, why can't you teach a guy like Jason Morrow to block? And let me say this about Jason Morrow. I think in the right system, he can be a good NFL player. He set all sorts of records last year for receptions and receiving yards in FBS for Texas Tech. He didn't play in a profile offense, in a pro-style offense. That is a big drawback to me. Number two, he doesn't have the speed or overall athleticism of an Ebron, so I think his upside is a little bit lower. Now, he does have better hands, and he's just about the same size as Ebron, too. But from what I understand from people that have watched him, he hasn't shown the willingness to be physical as much as Ebron has, and he hasn't been asked to block as much either. So I think that's why I'd lean towards Ebron as the better player, mostly because of the upside and the superior athleticism. Let's see what else we have here. At Big Blue got rings. I'm really surprised Ann from D.C. didn't call and rip the signing Freeman. Well, yeah, Freeman signing. Well, that's possible. Let's see what else here. 65 for president. Convert Michael Sam to a linebacker. I don't think he has the side-to-side quickness to play a traditional linebacker. At Night Moves NJ, Beattie's best year. He was still a finesse player. Give me a battler like Deal O'Hara. Pugh is in that mold. So is Lawan. I buy that. You know, even at his best, Beattie is not a big-time, you know, blow your guy off the line type of player. Let's see what we got here. All right, let me go to my other page here. See if people sent some tweets directly to me, we can go through them here. Oh, and David Goodman, only the top 51 salaries count to the final roster set. Thought it was 53, but it is 51. Thank you, David, for that. Let's see here. At one, Sean, what do you think about us picking Stephon Tuitt in the second round, defensive lineman, if he's available? That's the guy at Notre Dame. We had our buddy from Notre Dame come on a couple weeks ago and talk to us about Stephon Tuitt. And my issue with him is that he's more of a 3-4 defensive lineman, a defensive end. I think if he played for the Giants, he'd either be a sub-package, short yardage, goal line end, or he could be a three-technique defensive tackle. But again, then you got to transition him. I really like a guy like Scott Crichton in the second round, a defensive end, Oregon State. If he's there, he'd be the guy I'd go with if you're looking for a second-round defensive lineman. Talk about DeMontre Moore, and I agree. People, you know, put way too much pressure on him last year to be really good, and I think some of his plays in the preseason might have made people kind of get too excited about DeMontre Moore. I'll throw Paul Dottino into that category. And I think anybody that listened to this show last summer can attest to the fact that I tried to calm people down about DeMontre Moore, that he was more of a project. But I think you do hope that this year he puts everything together and he could be a 7 to 10 sack type of guy rushing the quarterback on third downs. Let's see. Big Blue got rings again. Not for nothing. Big Blue Nation. But last night I had a dream that Sammy Watkins fell to us. Well, that's exactly what that is, my friend. That's a dream. Shakes agrees. He had a similar dream. Well, this guy's just a dream. Hate to tell you, but it is. Not going to happen. I think that about covers it. Everybody, great work on the phones. Great job on Twitter as well. Very good conversation. You didn't make me yell at anybody all day today. I had a lot of anger pent up, and I was ready to unleash. Didn't have to do it. So now who's going to feel the wrath later? That's an excellent question. We'll find out. Everybody, once again, no show tomorrow morning on Good Friday. We are off. The office is closed. So check us back out on Monday on Big Blue Kickoff Live. And, of course, the full archive of Big Blue Kickoff can be found online at giants.com/BigBlueKickoff. You can take tomorrow's time, maybe listen back to some of the old shows. We have some great interviews on there with people from Florida State earlier in the week, my man Greg from Pittsburgh. And by the way, their quarterback, Tom Savage, is apparently flying up draft boards. So that's something you can check out. I talked to the guy from Notre Dame a couple weeks ago. We talked to the guy from Iowa this week. Talk about C.J. Fedorowicz. So a lot of different guys over the past couple weeks. If you want to catch up on some of these draft prospects, you can do that. Everybody, thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. Happy holidays, whether you celebrate Easter or Passover. If you don't, enjoy your normal weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday. Have a good one.